Psalm 2, which can be found on page 448 of the Pew Bibles. The reign of the Lord's anointed. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Praise be to God for the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Let's share in our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Anyone recognise that one? There's a hint from last week. We had Whitby Abbey. This week, Whitby Harbour. I'm sure we can imagine, and perhaps some of us have experienced, what the North Sea can be like when a storm stirs up the waves into a tempest. At such times, surely there's no better sight than the opening into a safe haven. Setting course between, not this time two doorposts, but the two arms of a huge breakwater, a ship will come into a secure refuge. And so, like the twin arms of the breakwater, we find Psalm 1 and 2 stand at the beginning of the book of Psalms, welcoming us to enter between them into a place of safety, a place of refuge. Psalm 1 and 2 are a pair. You might have noticed as we've read them these last two Sundays that neither Psalm 1 nor Psalm 2 have a heading. Look at Psalm 3, its heading, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, most of the Psalms have headings. Certainly in book 1 of the Psalter, that's from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, there are only four Psalms which don't have a heading. Psalm 10, which is the second half of an acrostic poem, completing Psalm 9, and so most likely the two were one poem at one time. Psalm 33, which again, some parts of the tradition add on to Psalm 32. Which leaves only Psalm 1 and 2 with no good explanation for the absence of a heading. Except Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 stand as an introduction to the whole book, to every psalm. Stand as a way in to a life lived in the presence of God, where we know his safety. But there's better evidence that Psalms 1 and 2 make appear. The first line in Psalm 1, blessed is the man, And the final words in Psalm 2, blessed are all who take refuge in him. The word blessed holds these two poems together. There is blessing for the one who is like a tree by streams of living water. That's Psalm 1. There is blessing for all who take refuge in him. That's Psalm 2. Enter into the presence of God by the way of these two psalms, and we enter into a life in which we know God's blessing. Doesn't that sound like something we want to do? A place where we want to live in the presence of God, where God blesses us. The thought of being out on the ocean or even the North Sea when the wind whips up a storm is enough to have us all praying for refuge and a safe haven. The promise and hope of Psalm 2 is that God is our safe haven. In God alone, we find refuge and safety from every storm. Psalm 2 begins with a question. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot together in vain? You might think that the raging of the nations is against other nations. You might think that this is talking about times of war, when many innocent ones, especially women and children, are in great need of refuge and safety. But no, that's not what's in view in Psalm 2. In the psalm, the plotting of the peoples, their raging, their gathering together, is against God and against his Messiah. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. All people, everyone there ever is or has been or will be, has lived in rebellion against God and rebellion against his Messiah. That's what this psalm, together with all of Scripture, is teaching us. The storm which rages is a storm which we have joined in causing of rebellion against God. And so the question surely is, why? Why do we do this? Why do we rage against our God and against his Messiah? Well, the answer's right here. If there is a God, and there is, then he is God of all. God is our creator. He has made us for his own glory. This great God has appointed a king, a Messiah, over all creation. Someone to rule and reign as God over us. And surprise, surprise, we don't like that. We want to be free. We want to choose for ourselves. We want to take counsel together and decide what we think is right. And so all around, in the history of every woman and man, all around in our nation, in our culture today, we see signs of rebellion against God and rejection of his king. There's great selfishness, great greed, huge amounts of anger and frustration and violence against the poor, the weak, the vulnerable, the needy. All of this is rejection of God. Our society, as a society, is in rebellion. Way back in the stories of Samuel, God reigned over Israel. Samuel the prophet heard God's voice and Samuel spoke to the people. But the people, that nation whom God redeemed from slavery in Egypt, they come to Samuel and they say to him, appoint us a king to judge us, just like all the other nations. They rejected God being king over them so that they could live not in greater blessedness, but just like all the other nations, in rejection of God. This is the very root of all our sin. Every sin we fall into begins here. We don't want God to be God. We want to be God. We don't want God to appoint a Messiah to reign over us because we want to be our own monarch. We imagine that we can be God and king for ourselves. We can. We think somehow that if we were, our life would be better. There would be more stability, more peace, more harmony in the world if we were ruling everything. And for this we reject God. For this we reject the Father who loves us with a great and unending love. For this we rebel against his Messiah. And we know it's true. Like waves crashing against a granite cliff, our rejection of God has no effect. This is an artist's impression of the biblical description of the throne room of King Solomon. This is what people who first prayed Psalm 2 understood by the splendor and majesty of the king. We should fall to our knees giving thanks that God's response to human rebellion against him and his Messiah is described for us in Psalm 2. The one who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. We cannot, by our rejection of God, stop him being God. We cannot stop him being king. Hasn't every parent done this at least once? That young child who gets into a rage about something, and maybe the hands go in the hips, and maybe the foot gets stamped and the face goes red, and you find yourself laughing out loud, or at best trying very hard not to laugh. It's not going to change you. It's not going to change that no into a yes. He will speak to them in his wrath, terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill." The display of God's wrath and fury is intended to bring his rebellious people back to him. When there's a storm out at sea, you're not supposed to set out in a boat. You're supposed to stay in the safety. There is safety from God's wrath when we shelter within God's arms. There is nothing we can do that will prevent God establishing his king, his Messiah. The almighty, victorious God, whose great name we've already praised, in his measureless might will appoint his own king. God loves you and me. Even in our rebellion and our rejection of him, he continues to love us. And because he loves us, he will appoint his king. This is the depth of the Father's love for us. Can we see anything about who this king, this Messiah might be? Well, there in verse 7, the king speaks. "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You're my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.'" Verse 7 here is one of the most frequently quoted verses in the whole of the New Testament. At his baptism, the voice from heaven assures the Lord Jesus, "This is my son." Paul uses this verse at Pisidian Antioch to teach of Jesus. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." God's Messiah, the king God would appoint over us, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we could say, our Lord Jesus Messiah, the one who reigns. God gives all creation to Jesus. Didn't the risen Lord Jesus say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? This is what the verse means. Jesus is King. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the one who is Lord of all. The kingly reign of Jesus requires him to exercise justice. All nations, all peoples, every person who continues to reject the reign of Jesus, who continues to rebel against God appointing Jesus king, will face the righteous judgment of God. Rebellion against God and the sorrow and misery that rebellion causes will not be permitted to continue. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice and peace, where Jesus reigns over all. And here's the good news. This is the gospel. You are invited into his kingdom. Today, you have been given this day to kiss the Son. Psalm 2 ends with an invitation. An invitation to all who have been rebels against God. An invitation to all who have rejected Jesus as King. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Kiss the Son is not a romantic appeal, but a call for submission. To kneel and kiss the hand of the King is to kneel before him and recognize him as King, to offer him your service. See, in verse 11, serve the Lord. In verse 12 becomes kiss the Son, the same thing. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. There are storms raging all around us. It's time to come into the only safe refuge there is. Submission to Jesus as your King. The storm of rejection of God and his Messiah is raging. In Scotland in 2016, it's common and fashionable to reject God as our Creator, to despise his love. If they could, they would banish all thought and talk of God from this world. We will not find safety from this storm by joining in. The Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus, he is God with us. God for us. When we kneel before him, we acknowledge Jesus as our King. We are picked up by him and carried to this place of safety, the refuge which we long for, the open arms of our God where no storm will disturb us. There's the storm of denying that Jesus is King, of refusing to kneel before the cross. This storm is not marked by thunder and lightning, but by pride and foolishness. The pride that declares, I don't need to kneel at the cross because I don't need a Savior. Yes, you do. And the only Savior there is Jesus Christ. The foolishness which imagines that I can get on fine by myself. But you can't forgive your own sin. You can't even live one day without falling into some sin. You don't know how to choose right from wrong apart from the cross of Jesus. The cross is our refuge from the storm of sin. At the cross, your sin and mine is nailed there together with Christ and put to death. We can be free from our sin as we kneel before the cross and kiss the Son. We can find this blessed refuge of God for us there. There's the storm of failure. You'll know this one if you've been following Jesus for any time at all. Haven't you come here on some Sunday and you've said a silent prayer promising God that you will love him and follow him and serve him, and this week will be different? You will be faithful to Jesus. And don't you know that you've failed, that you've fallen short? There's no refuge from this storm in pressing on, in trying harder, in imagining that we can do better this week. There's no refuge in turning away. The only refuge is to kneel in submission before Christ, to call out that he will drench our life in his life-giving water. The living water of God's Holy Spirit flooding into your life, not the storm waters to destroy, but the life-giving water to empower you by the Spirit of God to live in the victory of Jesus our King. There is a harbor from every storm. It is entered by this way of the Messiah of God, the anointed King in God's kingdom, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps today you realize that you want to enter this harbor for the first time. Perhaps you've heard the gospel and you long to know freedom from the storms that are in your life. Well, you can come today. You can kneel at the cross and Jesus will bring you in. Perhaps today you know that you need to enter this harbor once again. You remember days when you were there, when you knew this safety of God, but somehow you set out into the storm again. Don't hesitate. Come and kneel before Christ once again, and he will bring you into the safety of God's love. The joy of God's salvation will be restored to you when you kneel at the cross and submit to Jesus. Jesus is King because God loves you. The great desire of God is for you to know more of his love in Jesus. Kiss the Son, and he will bless you with eternal safety from every storm. Let's pray together. Father, it's hard for us to humble ourselves and kneel before the cross of Jesus. It's hard for us to submit to someone else being our King. And so we pray that you would help us today. Help us right now by faith to kneel at that cross of Jesus. We pray that we would know Jesus taking hold of us, bringing us into that place of safety, that refuge of blessedness you have for us. We pray that we would remain there, submitting to Jesus, letting him be our King. Today and every day we ask it. Amen.